We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're talking the intersection of tight end ADP and opportunity on Roto-Viz Radio.
What's up, Roto-Viz?
Welcome into the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. I'm Dave Caban, one of the owners at RotoViz. Unfortunately, coming to you whenever you are listening to this without Curtis. He is a very busy gentleman right now, has a lot going on, and unfortunately was not going to be able to record Thursday night, but I figured I would move on full steam ahead and get something out for you lovely listeners to have to listen to on Friday morning or this weekend, whenever you have the time to carve out. But I am excited to talk about tight ends tonight. I think that there's a couple of players that are mispriced that, perhaps we can use to our advantage. But before we get into that, let's take a quick moment here for an FFPC stat attack. And this stat attack is sourced from our RotoViz Advanced Stats Explorer. I was looking at some tight end stats while thinking about some of the players we're going to talk a little bit about more this episode. And we know that last year, Dawson Knox was extremely efficient as a touchdown scorer. But what you might not know is Hunter Henry actually was more efficient when you look at a targets per touchdown and routes per touchdown perspective. So Knox and Henry led the way with 8 targets to every touchdown, meaning that every 8 targets they saw, they scored a touchdown. This is of players with a minimum of at least 50 targets. They led all tight ends in that efficiency metric there. Further, if you look at routes per touchdown, Hunter Henry ran 42 routes to every touchdown, followed by Freiermuth at 48 routes to every touchdown. Then you had Dawson Knox at 50 to every touchdown. So he was one of the most efficient touchdown scorers last season. And if you also look at the air yards per target that players were seeing, you'll see that Hunter Henry came in at 4th in intended air yards per target. And on a route basis, Henry was still in the top 10. So when he was getting targeted, it was downfield in comparison to many other tight ends, and he was scoring touchdowns efficiently. So those are things that we like to see as he takes a step into the second year with New England. Hopefully things can continue to improve. Hopefully Matt Jones gets to do a little bit more this year, and we'll see where things go for Hunter Henry. But I found that to be a pretty interesting takeaway from playing around with some of the metrics in the Advanced Stats Explorer. So that has been our FFPC stat attack. Head to myffpc.com, sign up for the main event, sign up for the Football Guys Players Championship, get in those best ball leagues, those dynasty leagues, and of course, the RotoViz Tri-Flex leagues. Okay, this is the third episode we've done with this concept where we are looking at in this case, players ADP in FFPC leagues at their position, and then comparing that with their projected opportunity per my projections. We've talked a little bit about how this can be a somewhat slippery slope when you start looking at projections, as there's so many different ways that they could prove not to be true. But ADP is largely informed by expectations and the information we have available at the current point in time. So let's see how that aligns with what feels like our best expectation in a perfect world at this point in time. And the first player that stands out when I do this exercise is Dallas Goedert. His positional ADP puts him in at tight end 8. However, his projected opportunity has him coming in at tight end 14. With tight ends, that's a significant delta there, that 6-spot delta. Now, I can understand some of the hype that you might have for Goddard, if you will, and I actually think that this ADP can make sense. So I don't have too much of a pushback on it. But what I think that it does highlight to some degree is if you were to find yourself choosing between Goddard or maybe Dalton Schultz, TJ Hawkinson, I would lean towards them in some regard, as their expected workload in comparison to their ADP lines up better. Now, perhaps for tonight, we're not going to look so much into the projection machine and how I arrived at those numbers, but let's just look at the projections that we get out of the range of outcomes tool. So for those of you that might be unfamiliar, this is a tool that I built that looks at a player's performance from the last two seasons, looking at the stats that matter for that position. It then finds players that at different points in their careers performed similarly, and then shows you how those players performed in their upcoming year. Excuse me there, while I take a sip of water. And then we can build an idea of what would be a reasonable range of outcomes by looking at what those matching players did in the season subsequent to their matching seasons. Now, Dalton Schultz, from a historical distribution perspective, or not Dalton Schultz, we're talking about Goddard right now, comes in at wide receiver 10 from a targets per game perspective. And of course, this isn't baking in changes that would happen in the offense. It's purely looking at information from last year. It puts Goddard in around 9 in targets. He is behind Schultz and he is behind Hawkinson. And if we look at the historical distribution scores, he's behind both of those players as well. So unless you are expecting that there's going to be a massive step taken forward by the Eagles offense, perhaps you think another year for Jalen Hurts, the introduction of AJ Brown can make a pretty big difference for them, then it looks like perhaps Hawkinson and Schultz will be better options. And in terms of how much of a difference there is in their historical distribution scores, it's not too massive. What I will do here is just open up the visualizations and see if I'm looking at those distributions visually, if it looks to me like there's anything worth noting here. Goddard very concentrated with most of his matches around 8 to maybe 11 points per game. Overall, you're getting a pretty similar distribution to what you see for Hawkinson and Schultz. So maybe the ADP is a little bit off when we look at things through this lens. I don't think that in my mind, that when I consider all of the factors of Goddard, that I have a major issue with him having an ADP of tight end 8. Now, on the flip side of things, a player that looks like he's going a little bit later than maybe he should is Cole Kmet. So in my projections, Cole Kmet has the seventh highest opportunity, in this case, second or seventh highest amount of targets, but he's going at an ADP of 12. And if we also bounce this off of the Range of Outcomes app, we will see that the from a workload perspective, Cole Kmet does not find his way into the top 10. In fact, I need to quickly here look things up. He is very far down. As a result of that, his historical distribution score is pretty low. Is last year going to be a good representation for what I think we could expect for Kmet this year? Probably not. I don't think the Range of Outcomes tool is able to view Kmet or his entire situation this year. So I think I would rely a little bit more on that subjective projection, a little bit more on what I'm expecting. Curtis and I have talked a lot about how we both expect this offense to be a little bit better this year. Justin Fields to take a step forward, Cole Kmet to remain a pretty substantial player in that offense. And I think that you're very realistically looking at Cole Kmet seeing somewhere around 100 targets, which on a per game basis would get him to around 6 targets a game. Perhaps it's at 5. But nonetheless, though, I think that he's looking like a player that's going now a little bit later than perhaps he should. And we've talked about Irv Smith. Now, Irv Smith has the opposite situation. His positional ADP puts him at 13, but he is, in my projections, coming in with the 18th highest workload among tight ends. So there's a pretty big delta right there. So it's great that you can get Kmet at a spot like this, where I feel that he has the potential to finish somewhere, probably not in the top 5 or 6 tight ends, but could get pretty close. And he's going at a point in drafts, which is significantly later than somebody like Dalton Schultz. So Irv Smith, and I believe that we've talked about this before, but it just does not feel like he's going to be able to have the type of opportunity that would support a valuation like this. So if you're looking at Minnesota's offense, I'm not sure exactly how you arrive at him having such a wonderful season there. I think that you would have to see a pretty high touchdown total for that to happen. Sure, Minnesota could start passing the ball a lot more frequently, but with Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen there, it just does not feel like a situation that's conducive to him getting a lot of looks. If you look at the projection machine, and we'll do this to try to get a sense of really break down and dig into here why, until things change, it looks like it's going to be tough for Smith to be able to put up a, you know, borderline tight end one performance. We'll look at Minnesota's overall play volume, which is going to be probably somewhere around league average. Maybe this team's a little bit better this year with some of the changes they've made. They actually were an 8-9 type of team last year, so this play volume around league average feels okay. And I think that you see Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen combining for around a 50% target share. Now, KJ Osborne last year, as the wide receiver 3 in this offense, he saw a target share of 15%. I even have him drop down to 14 in my projection. It's a little bit conservative, perhaps, but what you're seeing is between the top 3 wide receivers, 65% of that target share being taken away. You have a back in Dalvin Cook that could see 10%. Alexander Madison's probably going to be a little bit involved. When you start doing all of this, it's hard to have Irv Smith getting to 13%. He's probably going to be somewhere around 10 or 11. And I still have in my projections him getting 5 receiving touchdowns, which for 66 targets, and a pretty high catch percentage that he does have, good yards per reception, all encouraging things in terms of efficiency. It still does not get him very high into the tight end rankings. So just further reason that I think he is being overdrafted. So I would really, really much rather have Kmet by a substantial margin than Irv Smith. And these are two players that are going in relatively the same range. Now,
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Albert Okwuegbunam has a positional ADP of tight end 16 in FFPC drafts. My projections put him at tight end 23 in terms of opportunity. Now, if you're looking at Okwuegbunam, it's really hard with Russell Wilson coming into town to look to the past and try to carry that forward into a meaningful projection for the coming year without correcting for some of those subjective things that we would. Now, one thing that I could see people formulating in their mind to kind of make more strong of a case for him is that now with Tim Patrick, unfortunately out for the season for Denver, that perhaps that shoots up his target share to some extent. But what I think that we more commonly see when you look at way that targets get distributed on a team, and this holds most often when a player becomes unavailable, is that their targets get spread over a variety of players. So I don't think that Tim Patrick being unavailable opens up an extra 4 or 5% for Albert O. That seems very unlikely to me. As many would expect, KJ Hamler will be the beneficiary of the majority of the targets that would have been going to Tim Patrick, but then they'll probably get distributed out a little bit to Sutton, a little bit to Judy, a little bit to maybe two or three other wide receivers on that team. So if that's one of the selling points for you, I don't think that it should be. I would be okay with one thinking that Denver is going to really take a major step forward as an offense this year, that targets are going to be of a much higher quality, that there could be a connection between Wilson and Okwuegbunam, or that he could get an exceptionally high touchdown rate. Just to give a little more information here, Okwuegbunam comes out at 20 overall in my projections. I would feel comfortable drafting him around tight end 16 because I think that there's a little bit of upside. But I think that this exercise is important to run through as it shows that for him to match this ADP, he probably does need to have some things break his way. Now, on Denver, my projection assumes that he sees approximately 12% of the looks there last year. That's a number that feels pretty reasonable to me. I don't really think that that is an expectation that's undershooting or overshooting things. In 2020, he was at 10%. 21, he was at 10% as well. So this gives him a little bit of a boost in that offense. And then since you might be interested, I have Sutton at 23%, Judy at 21%, KJ Hamler comes in at 14%. And then between Gordon and Williams, they're getting 12%. So that's kind of my thoughts on Albert O. As I continue looking down the list, the only other player that I see as being significantly mispriced, well, I take that back. I'll also point out Logan Thomas in a minute. But so Hayden Hurst, I see him with a positional ADP here of 24. My projections, though, have him in at tight end 33. But this is a case where I think that it's fair to some extent to fade that opportunity projection, because I think that the quality of targets for him will probably be higher than your average tight end, given what we saw from Cincinnati last year, the group of receivers that he's playing with. I am more encouraged about his prospects for the coming year than that opportunity number itself presents. I am in the range of outcomes tool right now. And it doesn't really love Hayden Hurst. It has him, interestingly enough, coming in a very similar spot to where that projection puts him. But like I said, I think that if you're looking at tight ends in that range, he has more upside than a lot of the other players that you're going to be looking at, or he has more of a potential to have games that would make him worth keeping on your roster or having. Of course, when you're drafting tight ends at this point in the draft, if you're playing redraft, you're probably not going to need to worry that much about these guys because they probably are more or less replacement level players. But in that range, if you're looking for a player that could move out of that replacement level spot, I think he has a better chance than some of those other guys around him or that come directly after him. I'm thinking Brevin Jordan, Cameron Brait, Mo Alie-Cox. Robert Tonyan, I actually probably should have mentioned, because we see the reverse in his case. He is at a positional ADP of 22. My subjective projections volume gets him in at tight end 15. We will take a look here, though, at the range of outcomes tool based upon what we've seen. And sure, things are going to be a little bit different now that Davante Adams isn't around. But this puts him in the mid-20s in terms of targets. In terms of just average PPR, we see Tonyan ending up really with what might be a disappointing projection for a lot of folks out there in the same spot as well in the mid-20s. I would be okay with somebody moving a little bit ahead, or not ahead. Let me say it differently. I would be more okay with taking him maybe around ADP, maybe a few spots ahead of like an Evan Engram or David Njoku, because you do see the possibility that he doesn't need to have too many things break his way for him to at least justify that ADP, if not outplay it. And Logan Thomas, it's hard to really comment here on a delta between ADP and the workload, because there are questions about what his availability and what his health will look like this year, which is probably one of the things that is depressing his ADP. And I actually forgot. We had a listener question come in that I wanted to talk about. Probably should have mentioned that in the opening, but it's a pretty simple question here. Simple answer. Hey guys, love the show. All summer I've been torn between keeping one of these three guys in my two quarterback 4 point per passing touchdown, 0.2 PPR league. Chubb in the 9th, Debo in the 9th, Lance in the 10th. I think I'm leaning towards Lance now for the upside, but would love to hear your thoughts. This is a really easy one. Chubb in the 9th. We're at the point where Well, it's Chubb. If you do Chubb versus Debo, it's Debo a million times over. How many more seasons are you going to get from Chubb? They're in the same spot. Debo, much more intriguing there. Then you have Debo in the ninth versus his quarterback in the 10th. In a two quarterback league, a player like Lance that's looking like he has the upside that he does that could be really exciting and is also a starting quarterback. There's just no question here. You're going to go Lance in the 10th for sure. If it were one quarterback league, you know, I think I would definitely lean toward Debo, but with this being a two quarterback league, there really isn't any discussion. It's Lance 100%. All right. I hope that everyone out there has a great weekend. Hopefully we can get Curtis back for some episodes next week. As I have mentioned, I want to do a bold predictions episode. Get us your bold predictions. Call into the number. It is in the show notes. You should be able to find this. You can hear it play in the outro. As I've mentioned, I do not have it committed to memory, and I'm stalling right now so that I can actually go and pull up this number. A couple of reasons. I want to make sure that this line is still working. We haven't gotten a call in a while. People are much more inclined to send us in emails. That's fine. You can also tweet at us. But the number, so you can leave a voicemail and we will play it on the show. And if we play it on the show, you have a decent chance of getting some merchandise. We'll randomly select a couple of the submissions, send something your way. The number, 978-615-9214. 978-615-9214. We would also really love to answer some of the questions that you have. You know, if it's making last minute dynasty trades before the season starts, more keeper questions, high level strategy questions, player specific questions, anything that you have, shoot those our way, and we will be back next week. Thank you for listening to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. Send us questions at rvffshow@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at DaveCabinFF and at CPatrickNFL. Leave us a voicemail at 978-615-9214. And make sure to rate, review, and subscribe.